Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
how did this all start for you?
Well, I was a flight attendant for like, I don't know, totally 20, maybe 23 years, but I worked for 5 different airlines, which is unusual in the airline industry. Usually you get, you know, I mean, you just, there are a few flight attendants out there that work for 3 or maybe even 4 flight, but to have trained for 5 airlines is pretty unlikely. You know, I mean, it's just the way my career happened. I started out with the charter airlines and I flew pretty much all over the world with military contract, you know, flights. I mean, I did all some crazy flying. I saw the world, which was beautiful. But, you know, in the airline industry, you know, everybody wants to work for a major airline, American, Delta, United, you know what I mean? That's like the thing, you know. So, you know, after 4 airlines, you know, 3 of them bankrupt, and, you know, you go through all that, the last thing I want to do is, you know, go through another training. But you know, I loved the career. I just did. I loved it, you know what I mean? And so I ended up going to work for United in 97. And so what happened in 90, you know, I got based in Boston, originally based in Chicago, and then I transferred to Boston. And so I was flying. My route was pretty much, I liked the transcon flights, Boston to L.A., and I'd lay over out there. And then work the all-nighters home, either L.A. or San Francisco, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was very fortunate because that's really, you got to be with a company for a while usually to hold that type of flying. They call it the transcon flying. Otherwise, you're doing up, down, you know, Boston, Chicago, Chicago, here, there, yep. You know, you're bouncing all over the place. And that's, you know, that's, some people, I don't like it. I like to go up once, you go across the country, come down, and then lay over for, you know, whatever.
So your route was pretty important, obviously, with the where this story is going, I can only imagine. Okay, so tell me about that.
What happened was, as we all know what happened, I came in on that same ID, flight 175, and they went out, going back to L.A., and, you know, there was a second plane that got hijacked on 9/11. So, and that crew there, the base crew on that were 2 years more had more seniority than I did. So it was their first trip of the month. It's hard to explain this, but what happened, I was flying with them for like 2 or 3 months. And then when we bid our September schedule, they held weekends off. I couldn't. My first trip, I went out and I came back. I worked, I think it was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. They went out Tuesday. And, Tuesday morning it was, yeah. And so why I'm doing this.
Well, I just have a question. So the reason that you were not on the flight that ended up crashing that day was because they had a little bit more seniority their schedules than you did because you had just joined. So you could have been on, hypothetically, you would have been on that flight.
Because that's what I worked all the time, was flight 175. Everybody thought I was on it.
So your family, so tell me about that for a second, when your family thought that you were on that flight.
Well, all of a sudden, the phone starts calling, you know, ringing, everyone's calling me, and it was like, you know, what was going on, it was all, you know, the first plane hit, and you know, nobody knew, as we all, nobody knew what was going on, you know, and of course, I did, you know, I didn't know, you know, and I was helping a friend that morning, and there was a guy, I was out in front of his house, and a guy inside the house yelled out, "You got to come in here." And when I come inside, the second plane hit the tower. Mm-hmm. And that's when I called the airport. And you know, everything was shut down. They shut the computers down or whatever. It was just, you know, it was just crazy. And then my cell phone was ringing, and my brothers, you know, like 8 brothers and sisters, they're calling, everyone's calling, you know, and it was just crazy. So, you know, so what happened to me, you know, I'm not good at interviews or whatever, and I don't know media. I know nothing about this. All I know is I want to be healthy enough to, because I'm so fortunate that I can do this. These crew members, you know, the reason I told you that I worked for 5 airlines is because the public, the regular public that flies a lot, like all of us, you know, you get on a plane, whatever. I've experienced what it's like to be on an airplane when emergency happens. And I know what flight attendants do under those conditions. I've been there. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've experienced it. Now, nothing in this world could have ever gave me experience to have dealt with what they dealt that morning. Nothing. No trainer could have trained me for that. And no trainer could have trained me for that. But what they did is, like, I'm mind-boggled over what they accomplished up there. Really, I'm mind-boggled. Because under those conditions, that was hand-to-hand combat. You know, they were the first responders of that day. They took on and, you know, I don't like to talk about it, but it's pretty gruesome. Yeah. But, they, you know, what they pulled off by being able to pick up the phone call under those conditions, make phone calls with dead flight attendants, but, you know, just the hollers, the throat slashed, and just insanity at 8 o'clock in the morning. Right. It's mind-blowing. See, I get emotional thinking about it. So what happened to me was, I was coming apart. I ended up getting addicted to opiates, painkillers. Mm-hmm. And I flew for 10 years like that. Mm-hmm. 10 years. And every plane that I got on, every plane that I worked, I was waiting for it to happen again. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I lasted 10 years. I don't know how I did it. It's truly a miracle that I made it, that I'm sober today, that I can do what I'm doing today, to recognize these crew members for what they did. The reason I'm doing it is for their families, to let their families know that, listen, as bad as it and as bad as that was, I can tell them absolutely that what they did was unbelievable. You know, I know what it's like when you're at 30,000 feet. You know, that you can't call the police, you can't call the fireman. You only got a split second to make a decision real quick, and the crew has to make the decisions real quick. Let's do it quick now. What passes do we need for help? You have to do that. So under those conditions, I can't even imagine, but they did it.
They did do it.
You know, one guy on 175, he was only flying for the company for 10 months. And he made a call off of it. You know, giving important information to us on the ground, where these terrorists were seated and what seats. You know, under those circumstances, you know, for myself, I off the top of my head, I could think of only one planned emergency landing that I was ever involved in. And thank God it never, you know, it all worked out. But I remember the captain calling me in the cockpit, and he said, "You got 10 seconds to prepare this cabin going into San Francisco." That our landing gear wasn't locked in. That's what it was telling, you know, the settlement wasn't locked. It was down. The landing gear was down, but they didn't know when we touched down if it was going to, you know, it was going to buckle under, whatever. So this is after over 7-hour flight across the country. We're all exhausted. I just sit down in the jump seat, and all of a sudden he calls me. He says, "Come in the cockpit." And I'll tell you, when you get that, you hear that, he goes, "You got 10 minutes to prepare this cabin." So all of a sudden, I get to call the rest of the crew, and we got 10 seconds. We got to put people in the right seat, that exit rows or whatever, to make sure when whatever's going to happen, we're going to get these people off.
Yeah.
So I know, right. It's mind-boggling to me that's what was going on up there. That's what they were thinking under those conditions, and they were never recognized. They were never recognized as heroes.
So, Paul, tell me how you acquired this. So what I've seen in the pictures is you pushing a drink cart. Now, is that the original?
A beverage cart.
Now, is that the one from the wreckage a beverage cart? So what are you doing with the beverage cart to train? Like, what is what's the mission here?
Well, I'm pushing it from I'm pushing it from Logan Airport, Boston. As long as it's, a great friend of mine's sister, she's the project manager of this whole thing, and has organized this whole thing for me. All I got to do is be in shape to do it. That's all she said. And so hopefully I got Becca Peasy, that girl who ran the 7 marathons in 7 days, 7 continents. She came on board. So she's going to set up the mapping of getting me from Boston to New York. You know, whatever streets I got to take, whatever I got to do. And I plan on leaving from gate C, C-19, which is where my flight went out of, United 175. And hopefully JetBlue is on that gate now. Hopefully, I'm sure, you know, when the right people are talked to at Massport or whatever, they'll let me push that card off that gate. And then off I go to New York.
New York and to their airport or New York to the old...
Ground Zero.
To Ground Zero, okay.
Yeah. I'll be coming into Ground Zero on September 11th, on the 20th anniversary.
When are you going to leave from Logan?
That's all going to be... Once the map is completely figured out, We'll measure how many miles each day I got to do or whatever. And, you know, off the top of my head, I tentatively, you know, when I knew I was going to do this, I said, I'll leave September 1st. So it gives me 11 days. Come in there on the 11th day. But that could change, you know. So the website is going to be up within probably about a week. And I don't know if you saw it on my Facebook. The logo is already designed.
I saw the logo. It's really cool. Do you have I know it's not released yet, but I would love to wait and run the story until it's released, obviously, so people can donate like right when they hear the story. But do you have the website name? At least I can write it down.
I believe, you know, I know it's Paulie's Push. I don't know if it's going to be .com or .net.
Okay.
It's gotta be a Paulie's Push.
Can you send me a message when you find out?
Oh, absolutely.
And then
absolutely.
You're raising money through the website, I'm assuming, correct?
Yeah.
And it's for
That's already been set up. My friend is Kevin Stevens, is my best friend. And his sister is it's called powerforward.com. That's their foundation that Kevin has. He's a retired hockey player. He played with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He won the Stanley Cup twice and played the Bruins once or whatever. But he's a great guy. He's my best friend. His sister, she saw what I've gone through the years. And it's amazing to be like on the 10-year anniversary, I was trying to do something. And nobody was helping. It just didn't seem like after 9/11, everybody helped. But the 10-year anniversary, I couldn't, you know, I wasn't in the right frame of mind either. I was a mess. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now it's blowing up, and I have so much gratitude for what's happening. People, you know, a woman sent me a message from New York at 4 o'clock in the morning saying, everyone, I couldn't believe it. I get emotional. What do you think? Anything you need from us in New York? Crazy. So, you know, it's way overdue. And the reason I wanted national coverage, because I don't know where a lot of these crew members' families live. They're all over the country, and they deserve to know. They deserve to know that, you know, their crew members, their sons, daughters, sisters, brothers that were flight attendants, we're just up there slaughtered. Trust me. I know what they did up there. They coordinated. And it's just mind-boggling to me that they could pull it off, what they did. They're the ones they were the first responders. And if you remember how this country came together when that happened, well, it started up there at 30,000 feet. They're the ones that started it.
I love that.
They're the ones that rallied the bastards on 93.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
All right.
They're the ones that did it.
I'm with you 100%. I'm so excited for this. So just so you know, I'm going to wait until your website comes. Like the second that you tell me the website is about to launch, I need to know that information as soon as possible, because right when it is available, I'm going to tell your story and I'm going to use some of this incredibly powerful audio and hopefully get you a lot of money to be raised. And so the money is going to Power Forward?
Well, no, it's going to be right now. Power Forward has the bank account. It's like Republic Bank of Boston.
Okay.
So, it's, in other words, their foundation's already set up. So I didn't have to do all this, whatever you're supposed to do.
Oh, I see. So the money's going to go to them, and they're going to make the contributions to the families. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that whole thing, I don't know. You know, the thing, the decision on that, I don't know. Because between me and you, this is what my idea was. this is my idea. Now, you know, I don't know, but this is what I thought was a good idea. Because, listen, you have your charities that you like. Yeah. Every family has a charity that they like. You know, some people give to the Cancer Society. Some people give to this society. Some people to that. And so my idea was, you know, if this is going to be nationwide, people, you know, why don't we, when they whatever they donate, write down what their, so I'm going to donate $20. But my charity I like is Cancer Society. Send that in with it, right? So then, after all is said and done, the total sum of the money gets equally distributed to everyone that wrote that charity. So in other words, some kid that put $5 in could end up getting $500 going to his charity because it's equally divided. You know what I mean?
I do.
So it spreads it out to a lot of charities, not just one certain one.
Yeah, but what is the ultimate? What is going to happen? Because I'm going to have to make note of this in the story. Like, where is the...
I think right now, see, that was discussed the other day on the phone with Kelly. It's Kelly Wilson. And I...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.